today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, seems like ride shares are becoming more like traditional taxis every day. Some people don't think that's a good thing. And I have a warning about renting a car in the blind.
You know, I didn't know that you could rent cars if you were blind. But anyway, something's up with online airfares. Something not so good for travelers, and that's always the case. At 3:20, Ed Perkins joins us to explain the mystery of the changing airfares. Are the airlines up to no good, Mark?
I think it's entirely possible.
Well, today, Ed's going to help us understand.
Today might be the day you win two tickets to see An American in Paris at California Music Theater. At 3:35, Richard Lewis joins us to talk about the show, and we'll give you a chance to win a special prize package.
And finally, at 3:50, we introduce you to a guest on the Travel Guys, Jen Ruiz. Jen is a millennial travel blogger, and I think for some of the women who are listening to the program, you're going to like her.
The next 55 minutes are packed with great information to make you a smarter traveler. Thank you for tuning in to the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Yes, live once again in Sacramento. We are the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And
just stumbling along here.
Yeah, you know, for the listeners.
I confess to them what happened?
Yeah, go ahead. Confess to why it didn't sound like we were as smooth as glass like we always are, you know? I mean,
before the show starts,
yes.
Mark brings in the headlines that we read. Are on a piece of paper, and Tom and I rehearse them.
Yes, we
practice get them
these.
Right.
Yes,
and in the outside the studio, and then we come in here, and I've always got a whole bunch of papers with the news and things about guests and stuff. And for some reason today, my copy of the headlines did not make it from your studio down the hall to here. If it did, it's hidden somewhere. So as you started to read that first line, I realized that I had no copy to read in front of me. Mm-hmm. So that's why you saw me kind of cuddling up to you over there.
Right. Yeah. Our microphones are just far enough apart where you can't really, you know, share.
No.
So anyway, that
you could
was
kind of sort of, we kind of shared the headlines there. And,
and for those people that tuned in to actually get information about travel and being a smarter traveler, we apologize for wasting your time. Anyway, with all that being said, we're here again. Mark, how was your week?
It was good. It was good. I just got back this morning from Dallas, Texas, where I was down at a coin show. It was kind of a hobby of mine. Mm-hmm, I've used to. Before I was a tour operator, I was a coin dealer many, many, many years ago.
Really?
Back, yes.
Mark's had some interesting, he's got the coin thing, and for those that may have seen one of his bios, he used to own, for a brief time, a professional basketball team?
Yeah.
Before did you have baseball, too?
Before there was the Kings in Sacramento, there was a little semi-pro team called the Prospectors for a couple of years, and it was my pleasure, along with another guy, Scott Graff was his name. We owned the Prospectors for 2 years. Gosh, that was a money-losing proposition in the 70s when I didn't really have any money.
You know, I would have been all over season tickets for the Prospectors, Mark, if I would have only known.
Tickets were at least
that.
A dollar or a dollar and a half.
And you played, what arena?
Well, they started at Memorial Auditorium, and then in order to cut the overhead, we played at Mariloma and El Camino High Schools.
Okay.
And we were pretty successful. We averaged about 600-700 people, and we had a fairly mediocre team. But we had a wonderful coach, a gentleman named Richie Williams, and maybe somewhere out there there's somebody who's listening to this who's saying, wow, I remember that. That was a long time ago. Anyway, it is a travel show, so maybe we should.
Oh, there we go. Digressing.
Yeah,
is that the word?
Yeah,
digressing.
I doubt that anybody tuned in to hear my life story for 55 minutes. So
all
we
right.
Probably
well,
should.
Let's see if we got something worth the travel guys with the travel news. Top of every Travel Guys radio program. We bring you up to date on the travel news. By the way, you can follow along with a lot of stuff and links to the things we talk about at TravelGuysRadio.com. Look, Mark, you're going to read, I see you found your headline, so you're going to read that for the news,
I found
right?
my set of headlines.
Today on the Travel Guys.
Yeah.
Okay, go for it.
Anyways, let's see in the travel news here. Tom, last week, United Airlines announced something that really made a lot of people scratch their heads. Actually, it's been about 10 days now. Traditionally, some of the airlines, United is one of them, that when their airline, now that the airlines are regularly making a profit, when they meet certain goals, they share the profits with the employees. This is being done at Delta and Southwest and American. And so United people, in some cases, can get a nice little $200-$300 check. So if you're a mainline person, why, that's a sizable amount of money every 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So United came up with this deal. They decided that they were going to have this big bonus lottery. They were going to give one employee $100,000, and they were going to give away new cars and all kinds of things. But of course, not everyone would win something big.
Right.
And all the money would be pooled together to create these big prizes. And some people started to see through this and said, well, this smells like the airline is trying to save money.
Well, rather than having a lot of small bonuses, they were going to do one big lottery prize. Already.
Well, yeah, or a series of big prizes. And the employees did not, to say that they didn't respond well would be an understatement. And so United got thousands of complaints from employees over the weekend after it was announced. That would have been last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kind of backpedaled and said, well, you know, we'll sit down and talk to you all and decide what it is you want to do. So in the no good deed goes unpunished department, or the be careful what you try to do to shaft your employees because they're liable to see through it, the people at United Airlines have kind of figured that out. So we'll see what happens if they stick with the lottery or if they go back. They did say for this quarter they're going to go back to the old system. So everybody will get a check, and then they'll see what they're going to do.
Well, you know, I've always been a fan of a lot of people getting something rather than just a few people getting great big things.
Yes, yes. Always. And that tends to smell bad when you start, because now you can't figure out how much money was really spent or distributed or whatever.
There you go.
And so, yeah, well, anyways, that's maybe it's just a general distrust for airlines that makes me think that way, but... Top 20 cities to go for St. Patrick's Day. What do you think is number one on the list?
Well, you know, it's unfair. I've seen the list by chance. If you recall, the email ended up getting passed through.
Oh, that's right. It came from you. Yeah.
Yeah, and it does make sense.
Yes. Chicago for St. Patrick's Day, then Boston, Philadelphia, Buffalo, New York, all cities where you had a lot of Irish immigrants, of course.
The interesting thing is, in that research, they talked, and you might have that there, didn't it? Was there something about how many people claim to be Irish on St. Patrick's Day versus the actual real number? It's dramatically different. Do you have can you share with folks, if you have it there, the number of what a percentage of Guinness?
Yes. The Guinness consumption on St. Patrick's Day compared to the rest of the year... 819% higher.
Yes.
152% more beer is sold overall on St. Patrick's Day. let's see, $5.9 billion with a B dollars will be spent collectively on St. Patrick's Day by people celebrating. That's about $40 a person. Of course, if you go down to now next Saturday, I will be at spring training. Interestingly enough, the Giants play the A's on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So if the game doesn't get rained out, of course, the A's for years, Kelly Green is their, you know, that's their thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they will have green beer in Scottsdale and all kinds of wonderful things like that. And I assure you, $40 won't get you very well. $40 won't even get you into the ballpark, I don't think. A note from one of our listeners, Christy, Beres. My apologies if I pronounce that wrong. Just sent us a note and said, I got several notes after Clayton's Jordan interview last week.
I'm not surprised.
Just folks who sent and said that was really nice and would love to have more of that kind of stuff. So it's kind of hard, though, to find somebody who was just has come back and is that passionate about. And Clayton just landed in New Orleans with the tour group. So he, Jordan, Sacramento, now he's already back out on the road. Listen, here's something. We talk often about what's the best way to book a hotel, and we tell folks to stay away, you know, from the third party online,
right?
Kind of have a way. And so here is something that came out, the best way to, here, how to book a hotel the smart way. See if any of this sounds familiar.
Okay.
At least for now, the competition for your hotel dollar is intense. Here's how to make the most of it. Start with a thorough search. Check an online travel agency like Expedia or Booking.com. Check the rate against the price your preferred hotel would charge if you book direct. Review the restrictions. Hotels can impose restrictions for booking through their site, like making their rooms non-refundable. So read the conditions closely before deciding on a price. You might be better off working with a big agency that has negotiated better terms, but check the incentives carefully. Ask yourself if you really need what the travel agency or the third party is offering. Remember, you might be forfeiting the services of a seasoned travel advisor who can advocate for you if something goes wrong by booking through a travel agency or booking directly through the hotel itself. So kind of what we tell folks, which is you need to consider, find the best price if you can book it directly through the chain or the hotel itself. If it's an independent hotel, you probably will be dollars ahead. And also something about rental cars I wanted to mention here. This comes from a story from somebody who rented a rental car in the blind, you know, kind of a Priceline type deal. Here's your price for the rental car. You'll find out the company later. And it was Ace Rent-A-Car. I didn't make that up. I mean, it really was Ace Rent-A-Car. Mm-hmm. It's a company in Arizona. And there are a lot of second and third level rental car companies at the Phoenix airport. You're going to wait in a long line. Person got there. There was no car for them. There was nobody else who had a car available. So just be very careful. I strongly recommend against blindly renting a car. That you need to know the company. Pick the company that has the lowest rate that you know what it is, and also be very careful of things like Ace and Firefox and Advantage and things like that, because those are the companies that you take the car back and you're much more likely to get the phone call later and says, hey, what's this big scratch on the side of the car here when you didn't do anything?
If you travel by yourself, you have nothing but spare time and you like to, I don't know, self-abuse, then that would be for you. But if you don't qualify in those categories, I'd say stay away.
All right, listen, I got to talk. We need to do some sports leisure vacations business here for a minute.
Our sponsor, I might add.
Our travel club members are going to receive a newsletter next week, 5,000 of them around town, and some of them are listening to this, and it's going to have just a little tiny typo on the very front. On the very front page. Yeah. It's talking about our spring preview day, and it says it's on Saturday, April the 6th, and interestingly enough, April the 6th is a Friday. So it is on Saturday, and it is April the 7th. So when you receive that and you say, wow, that's confusing, which
you're
one
gonna,
of those is right?
You're going to get calls.
Oh, it's going to be a long week.
Calls.
And that's, you know, who the guy wrote that copy was? Yeah, yours truly.
Yeah.
A Sacramento icon passed last week. I wanted to take just a minute here and talk about Russ Solomon from Tower Records. And he was truly an icon. Tower Records was not only an icon in this town, but
worldwide.
In the industry. You knew him. You said you had an opportunity to meet him briefly.
I did. I met Russ several times in different capacities. Once when I ran a recording studio. Russ was a regular right here in the hallways and right here in this studio.
Really?
We are sitting where Russ very likely had perhaps one of his last radio interviews. He and Kitty O'Neill, well acquainted, used to come, and we would interview him with a number of his projects following his change out of Tower Records and so forth. A wonderful man and someone who was just as regular of a guy as you could possibly meet, that it was, by all intents and purposes, a celebrity to all the rest of us, but just a regular Joe.
Involved in the community. A lot of Tower Records dollars went back into the community in a lot of different ways. And that was something that, growing up, I always kind of admired Tower Records, because I really felt like that they were really a part of Sacramento more so than many other companies. So rest in peace, Russ Solomon, who passed last Sunday at the age of 92, truly an icon in Sacramento. All right, we take a break. We come back. Ed Perkins joins us. We're going to talk about that situation where you log on online and you see the airfare. You go and look for some things on your trip and you come back to look at the airfare and by golly, it's gone up $20 in price. How can that be? Ed Perkins explains next on The Travel Guys.
Yeah, double massive hangover. We are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And if you did not spring forward and you're just now tuning in, Wait a minute.
No, you're confused again. You tried to figure this out all during the break, and I don't know that you ever got
there. If you
didn't
set your clock back, you wouldn't miss the show. You did would be still about to come on in half an hour or so. Is that right?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, let's get to it here, because I could easily waste 8 minutes on this. We have Ed Perkins waiting on the line.
Hey, Ed, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, hi, guys.
Did you spring forward okay? Did you make your time? How did that work out for you?
It worked out fine, and I have to tell you, I'm old enough that when I remember as a kid that the airlines and the railroads continued to operate on standard time, even when places went on to daylight time. So if you think there was confusion,
wow,
back then it was something else.
So the clock would say one thing and the timetable would say something else.
That's right.
No, you're basically saying they would be Arizona, where they don't, or
Hawaii.
Yeah, or Hawaii, where they don't recognize daylight savings time. And that's how it would be for the entire year. Whatever time they used was the time they used.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, and parts of Indiana don't recognize daylight savings time, so you can drive through Indiana and go same thing with Arizona on the Native American reservations down there. They don't recognize daylight saving. They do recognize daylight savings time, so the rest of the state doesn't. So yeah, it goes back and forth, and so now we've confused the other three people who were confused. Ed, back to the subject at hand here.
Yes,
where people, more and more folks, are having this experience where they look up an airfare online, and then they go back to it an hour, 2 hours, a day later, generally on the same computer, and they look it up, and magically, that airfare seems to have gone up in many cases, $20, $30, $40, $50, $100. And you know, I've never heard of a case of anybody reporting where the airfare went down. So I'm a little suspicious. Explain to us about dynamic pricing and your fears that it's coming to the airline world.
Dynamic pricing is just about as you described it. It's where a supplier tweaks the price that they quote you on a post on a website. Because it knows your history and it knows what you're likely to do. So if it knows you're a real cheapskate, it'll give you a low fare. If it knows you've been willing to pay without worrying too much about those final few dollars, it'll boost the price that it shows you. I have to say at this point, this is a worry, not a fact. Nobody, as far as I know, has yet caught any one airline actually doing this, but it's like the old saying, you don't have to be paranoid to realize they're out to get you. people are suspicious that the airlines are playing around with this.
Wow. Ed, you know, you're stating some...
Ed, what do you think? Do you think the airlines are playing around with this? You've been in this industry for a long time. What do you think?
My guess is that some airlines are playing around with it on an experimental basis.
Yeah, do you have any inside information that you can't talk about on that?
No, I don't even have any information I can talk about. No. It's just one of those things that the technology is there, and consumers are used to it in a way. If you buy on Amazon, when you log on, Amazon features stuff that it thinks you're going to be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of what the airlines can do. Now, the airlines obviously look at it as saying, oh, this is a consumer benefit. We know that you like to buy a bundled airfare with a seat assignment and checked baggage, so that's what we'll show you. But an industry study showed that apparently being able to do this can boost their bottom line, can boost their take by 7 to 10%. So, you guess why they're doing it.
Well, and so, Ed, how do people avoid this? As a consumer, I seems to be pretty defenseless. I've had this happen to me more than once. And so what do we do? Is you just go to another computer, you wipe out the cookies and start over? I mean, a lot of people wouldn't even know how to do that.
Well, I think you have to have a certain amount of geek in you to do this correctly. The ordinary browsers give you options to browse anonymously, so that can prevent cookies from being dropped, and you can wipe out your cookies, unfortunately, from your browser. Unfortunately, that wipes out the good cookies as well as the bad ones, the ones where you don't have to keep re-entering your user ID. So you can do, if you want to be a little more careful, you can use one of the several search systems that are totally anonymous with such interesting names as DuckDuckGo or StartPage. Maybe what you do is if you have two computers, maybe a desktop and a laptop, you use one of them for your primary search and then use the other one when you want to be anonymous.
So it does appear as though this is at least on the drawing board. This just seems unbelievably unfair to consumers. I mean, I can see going into a grocery store and something was on sale yesterday. It's a different price today. I get that. But this airfare, it really feels like a bait and switch. I mean, it's maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm being old school here. But it doesn't it, Tom, feel kind of like it's like, here's the price. No, wait a minute. That's not the price. Here's the price. We think you'll pay $20 more.
It seems like something that should be regulated and should be controlled, but what can we do?
Well, it's not likely to happen in the next 2 years and 9 months. Ed, before we let you go, any other wisdom to our listeners here about how can we make them a little smarter other than just using a different computer? Or is there any? There really isn't, is there?
Well, not along those lines, but there's one other thing that people have to worry about these days.
Only have 30 seconds, Ed.
Particularly across the Atlantic. There are now four different categories of economy class fare, and they all have different requirements and so on. And the meta search engines typically cannot display all four of them. So it's a real confusing thing.
Ed, will you keep an eye on this and give us an update down the road?
I will certainly do that.
Thank you. Ed Perkins up in Ashland, Oregon. Behave yourself, buddy. We'll be back with Richard Lewis right after the update from the news here on KFBK.
It's the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations on the radio. And don't forget now, visit TravelGuysRadio.com, a link to everything we talk about on the program you can find right there. Mark, special guest on the Travel Guys, had him on before. A lot of excitement going on. Go ahead and introduce him to our audience and let's get going.
A few people around town probably will recognize his voice as what some of us refer to as VOG, which is Voice of God, which is when you're in a theater and you're hearing the offstage voice make some announcements or something like that. It's always referred to as the Voice of God. And Richard Lewis frequently is that voice at California Music Theater and at the Music Circus. Richard, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Well, thank you very much there. And please, that would be God with a small G.
Exactly, yes, exactly. Richard, you have a show coming to Sacramento here soon for an extended stay, a couple of weeks as opposed to the customary week. It is a great show, I know, because I saw it on Broadway a couple of years ago. Tell us a little bit about An American in Paris.
An American in Paris, and we've got that show coming to the Community Center Theater starting May 16th for 16 performances, 2 weeks, and it's a new Tony Award-winning musical about an American soldier, a mysterious French girl, and, of course, the indomitable European city, Paris, and all of which are yearning for a new beginning in the aftermath of war, it's similar to the movie, but the story is actually a better story. And the director and choreographer did get the Tony Award in 2015. It's magical. It's Paris. It's the unforgettable songs from George and Ira Gershwin. For me personally, it is one of the most beautiful productions of a musical I have ever seen. Just glorious choreography, and you know, you can't go wrong with the music.
No, it's really and truly for folks who haven't seen it or saw the movie a long time ago. It's really and truly, I'm glad that you said that, because it's the choreography and the music that really makes this show. If you like the old time musical, if you liked My Fair Lady or you liked Oklahoma or any of those, or if maybe you're a younger person and you've never seen any of those shows that I'm talking about, then this is your opportunity really to see something that is wouldn't you call it a grand performance, Richard, on the stage?
I would refer to this as a prime example of classic musical theater at its best.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and then the it's such a romantic storyline. There's a perfect show for couples, young couples, to come to, or, you know, and then don't forget Mother's Day is the week before, so this is a terrific show to bring mom to. It's a great date night.
Wow, wow. Richard, you have come bearing gifts to the Travel Guys today for folks who might like to get into the show on the cheap. We have a couple tickets to give away, but we have more than just tickets today.
That's right. We have a special prize package to one lucky listener today. A prize package includes a pair of tickets to the opening night, Wednesday, May 16th. There's a gift card to Blueprint Restaurant, and an official goodie bag. It's the tote bag with the show artwork is gorgeous, but it's the tote bag and the shirt and the CD and the magnet and the water bottle, and there's all kinds of odds and ends that we're going to put in that bag. It's a great opportunity to see the show on the opening night and have a bag full of stuff at the same time.
I see. You refer to it as odds and ends and stuff. Those of us at the Travel Guys, we refer to it as swag.
and it can only be won here on the Travel Guys today.
That is
correct.
Exactly. That is absolutely correct. Now, you did mention about tickets. You know, prices do start at $25, and so there is still a good selection of seats available for pretty much all performances. And certainly best idea is to call the box office at 557-1999, visit the box office at 1419 H Street. You can go online, BroadwaySacramento.com. Certainly we have all of those ways of making sure that you can get your hands on a ticket to come and see An American in Paris.
An American in Paris. I enjoyed it on Broadway. Many sports leisure travelers saw it there. I can't wait to see it in Sacramento. Richard, thank you for joining us. And we will put a link to California Music Theater on our Travel Guys radio site. So if you are looking for tickets, we've got an easy way for you to get there. And if you stay tuned after the break, we're going to tell you how you can win tickets to see American in Paris and all of those goodies that go with it. Richard, thank you for joining us on the Travel Guys today.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for having me on.
And don't forget now, link to where you can get tickets and more about Richard Lewis and the shows that they have at the California Musical Theater at TravelGuysRadio.com.
You could follow along the entire program at TravelGuysRadio.com. In fact, if you're not listening right now, but you wish you were, you could get the Travel Guys podcast. You could go to TravelGuysRadio.com right at the top of the page. You could just enter your email. We don't even send advertisements or solicitations or anything. We just send you something every week that says, hey, here's what the show is about. You want to listen to it or not, in case you missed it.
And there
so,
you go.
We have tickets to give away. We should give those away right now.
Tickets and more.
Tickets and swag, as Richard referred to as odds and ends.
Odds and ends and stuff.
Stuff. Who knows what could be in that bag?
All
could
right.
be an old actor or two that was just laying around the stage or something that they
there
put
you
in.
Go. I hope you were listening to the interview because...
Uh-huh. Because we want to know the answer to a very important question, which was answered during the interview. The phone numbers for you to call are 916-921-1530.
Yes.
Or 800-835-1530. Again, 916-921-1530 or 800-835-1530. We want to know, Richard Lewis is the CEO of California Music Theater. Richard also has a fun other name that one of his responsibilities bring him, and we mentioned that name at the beginning of the broadcast. If you can call us and tell us that name, the first caller to call and tell us Richard's other name that we referred to at the beginning of the interview.
It's a name for another job that he performs.
You get two tickets to opening night of American in Paris, plus all the swag. 921-1530, 800-835-1530. We'll take a break. We're going to talk to Jen Ruiz on the phone next, a wonderful travel blogger here on The Travel Guys.
Yes, this is The Travel Guys. Sorry, Mark, I was...
That's okay. I like this song, so I could just sit here and listen to the whole thing.
I know, this is a great song. Yeah. I was responding to my wife who just texted the answer. Stephanie, congratulations. You're right, but unfortunately,
but
as
win.
Always, we don't get to win because I work here. But thanks, honey, for listening.
Poor Stephanie. Everybody has a cross to bear, and you happen to be hers.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth? I'll
all
tell
right,
you.
Let's see here. Do we have okay. We do. We did get a winner, and the correct answer, Kathy Madden, okay? And the correct answer was Voice of God. So for all of those of you who are trying to get through, now we have our winner. So sorry about that. We just had one pair of tickets.
VOG.
VOG. That's what a lot of people call it. And it is VOG, the Voice of God. I don't know where that came from.
Well, you know, here again, it's a, what is the term? Unembodied voice.
Yeah.
Voice that comes from nowhere.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and we all kind of figure if...
Ladies
when
and gentlemen,
God
good evening
to
and
me,
welcome to California never, Music Theater.
Say, yes, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, and when God speaks to me, I don't see him. I just hear him.
How do you know it's a hymn?
Because it's always a male voice.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't know.
You might want to check with your wife when you get home on that. Maybe we will ask Jen, because she will probably know more. Jen Ruiz is with us on The Travel Guys.
Travel
Welcome.
Blogger.
Welcome, Jen.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark and Tom.
We're just being... This is probably our goofiest hour in a long time.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with... I think it's the spring forward, fall back thing.
Oh, that's it. We're off by an hour.
Yeah.
Must be.
No, we're off by more than an hour, trust me.
This show will sound so much better if it starts over again at 4 o'clock. Maybe that's what we'll do. We'll just forget the show that follows us, and we'll just do this program again. We'll have the headlines, and we'll be all... First class. Jen, welcome to The Travel Guys. I've been perusing your website, and I have some things that I want to talk to you about here. But there are lots of travel bloggers out there, and so it's we can't have them all on the radio. So how do you pick which ones to have? Well, you pick ones that have, I think, that have interesting things on their website. You know, Jen, we talk to folks about making them a smarter traveler here on this radio program, just trying to give them little tips and little hints of things that just might put them a little bit ahead of the crowd the next time they go out. And I noticed on your website, one of the things that you put was, one of your articles was 6 essential items every solo female traveler should have in their carry-on bag. I'm guessing those are different things than a male solo traveler should have in their carry-on bag. Jen, what are the 6 things every solo female traveler should have?
Well, one of the first things that I've found is really important as a female traveler is moisturizer. So for your face and for your lips, when you're on an airplane or an airport and on a plane, you really dry up. And it's essential, especially for the international long haul flights, that you have that as a female so that you can kind of stay rejuvenated and not dry out on the flight and have all of those issues. I think also in general, and this goes for both genders, people could really do well with having something like slipper socks or something else that they would be more comfortable in to change into as soon as they get on the plane. I think that that's a big thing because a lot of places, I actually found out about this while I was doing research, a lot of places don't necessarily sanitize their blankets or some of the slippers that they hand out in between every flight. Sometimes they just restuff them into packages. So I think that those are good items to bring on your own blanket, your own pillow, your own slipper socks and things like that, just to make sure because airplanes are so dirty.
Wait a second here. You're telling me that those slippers that the airline gave me to use might have already been slippered by somebody else? Holy.
I know, I was equally as horrified when I heard.
Oh, my goodness.
And I always thought they completely came in and, sanitized everything
inside. That
stinky
guy in the corner may have already used the slippers that I'm using. It's anyways, we're just having fun here. We're talking with Jen Ruiz. Jen is an online blogger. Her blog is Jen
on a Jet Plane.
Yeah.
That is so stylish. That's so cool.
So you can go there and follow along with us if you want to. So what are the other things that a solo female traveler should have?
Well, in addition, I think it's always good to have your own entertainment as well, especially because I've traveled a lot on budget airlines to minimize costs. So I find that sometimes, let's say you get on WOW Air, you have absolutely no entertainment. So I like to bring my own phone filled with Netflix episodes, my own free library books that you can download on this app called Overdrive. So you don't even have to get up and go to the library to rent a book. You can just download them straight to your phone. So I think that that's all essential just to get you through the longer flights with, some sanity. And then the final thing I think I put on that list was a pen, because it's so simple, but you'd be surprised when you're in midair and you're landing in a new country and everybody, there's this frantic rush for a pen to fill out the customs card. So I always just kind of feel savvy having my own and being able to pull it out and knowing that I'm prepared for that. So I think that those are some good essentials to have on your bag.
Jen, what made you, I won't ask your age, but we'll say you're a millennial. And what made you decide to take this? Is this your sole form of employment now? Are you a full-time blogger, traveler?
I'm still practicing law full-time.
Ah, okay. So you're practicing law and you're doing this, and yet you were able to accomplish 20 trips in 12 months in 2017?
Yes. So I set out to do, and I'll reveal my age. I set out to do the one trip a month before I hit 30. I figured that would be a good way to kind of send off my 20s in style and take advantage and do some things that I felt were once in a lifetime and feel like I had really accomplished something with that turn of the decade. So when I started, it became a bit of an addiction. I started to enjoy the challenge of trying to find the time and the money to make this happen because I worked for a nonprofit. So I had to take up a second job to be able to fund my travels and really try to find the least expensive way to get around the world and on my own, which is harder when you're not splitting costs of a room or rental car with somebody. So I had to really get creative. And I ended up taking 20 trips in 12 months to destinations all over the place, some local or some domestic, like San Francisco, that popped up on a great deal. And I was able to get there for $22 round trip from Miami. And then also further away destinations. Like I ended my year with a trip to Thailand and Cambodia for 11 days.
Now, wait a minute. You got an airline ticket from Miami to San Francisco for $22?
Yes. And that's why I couldn't pass it up. San Francisco wasn't necessarily on my radar, but that was the second trip that had been added in on November, just because it was such a good deal. So JetBlue has new routes from California to Florida, and they periodically advertise sales through their email for different price drops, last-minute want-to-get-away fares. So some of these prices are so cheap, we're talking $150 or less, that they'll often be translated into very minimal miles to redeem. So less than 5,000 miles usually to redeem for a ticket that is that low in price already. So with that, combining both the already present sale, fare, want-to-get-away, last-minute deal that they were having with some extra miles that I had on the side from purchases that I've made with them. Like every time I buy on Amazon, I click through the JetBlue website and I get 3 times the points for anything I buy on Amazon. So sometimes I'll get 100 points for JetBlue if I just make a $30 Amazon Prime purchase, which unfortunately, Mark and Tom, happens to me a lot more often than I'd like to admit. and then I just redeemed it for that, and I was able to get the round-trip flight. I think it was $11 to Long Beach and then an extra $11. So it's $5 after just for taxes and fees once you redeem the points.
Wow. Yeah. That's impressive.
It is. Our guest, Jen Ruiz, Jen on a Jet Plane, how to travel on a shoestring and be a smart traveler. Jen, I'm amazed at the work that you've put in on this, and you're doing a great job for people like yourself, the millennials. We've discovered, we have another gentleman, Nick out of San Francisco, who's done some stuff with us, and he indicates, and I want you to reflect on this, that you younger folks, the millennials, unlike some of us kind of semi-retired folk, we all wait until we get older, till we have that extra time, till we're retired, to finally hit the road. But you seem to have a different philosophy.
Sure. And I think that that is common to my generation, so to speak. I don't know when the shift in priority happened, but I think now, maybe with the onset of just so many more things being digitalized, us being able to connect with people around the world at the click of a button, we have a natural curiosity. You know, we want to see beyond our own cities or areas or countries, and I think more so than ever before. I believe I went to a travel conference and I saw that travel and tourism was going to be one of the few industries that's going to be growing exponentially over the next few years, and I think that millennials are a driving force behind that because we value experiences over the traditional things that were valued more so by past generations, like having buying a house and settling down. You know, mortgage rates or mortgages for millennials are actually down as well because they're not purchasing homes, they're not settling down. And I think that's for a lot of reasons. I think student loan debt plays a part in that. But at the end of the day, we very much realize that what is valuable is having those memories, and we don't want to necessarily wait to make them, especially when, you know, the future is never guaranteed. So I think that mindset of waiting until you've amassed a small fortune to be able to travel has just been put to the side, as well as that notion of just going to travel and not interact with anything. I think we've really taken travel in a new way, and we want to go to these places, we want to meet the locals, and we want to have a unique experience.
Jen, there's no question that millennials have, you made a comment there back at the beginning, you said, well, you weren't exactly sure when this changed, but I can tell you, as somebody who's been in the travel industry now for 40 years, I can tell you when it changed. The millennials brought the change. It's your age group that brought the change, and you verbalized it perfectly there when you said that. Why would, if these things are so life changing, if travel is so wonderful, then why would you wait until the end of your life to do it? Why wouldn't you make sacrifices and do things to try to front load that so you'd have the benefit of all of that experience to take you through? Because after all, isn't that what we all talk about? You know, life is about experience. So why not have those travel experiences early in life? And so it is indeed the millennials who have really changed all of this, because until you came along, everybody said, well, make as much money as you can and then use that money. One of the things you can use it for is to travel. So really some excellent thoughts. Jen, before we let you go here, we are going to put a link to your website on travelguysradio.com, which is what we always do. Jen on a jet plane. If folks were going to go to your website for the very first time and find something interesting, where would you send them? What would you tell them to look for on your website?
Well, you can search either the destinations map if you're just curious about a new place to visit. I have all kinds of adventures on there, like swinging off the edge of the world in Ecuador or descending into a volcano in Iceland. So if you're looking for inspiration and something cool, the destinations page is a good place to go. And if you actually just want to find information about cheap flights, I made a special bonus page for readers of the book that I'd be happy to share with you today. It's jenonajetplane.com/flight guide, which is the name of the book, The Affordable Flight Guide. And that has all kinds of frequently asked questions, a checklist that you can download, and other bonus content for anyone interested in finding great deals.
Jen, thank you so much for taking some time to spend with us here on The Travel Guys. And I will invite you, when you find something cool or interesting or something that you think would just make folks in your demographic a smarter travelers, why, please feel free to come back and share with us again sometime.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you hosting me.
Thank you for reaching out for us, because had you not, I might have been a while before we ran into Jen on a jet plane.
Jen on a jet plane. Well, how about that?
We gave away
some tickets today. Listen, I'm going to be at spring training next week down in Arizona, and you are going to be here in the studio by yourself, and you were out working on a little project with Steve LaRosa this week.
Yesterday. We've got, some really great interviews, and we're going to talk about it's a couple of years old, but it's real new to most people. The Milagro Center. It's out off of Fair Oaks before you get to Marconi. It's eateries, dining, and it's very, very unique.
I haven't been there, so I'm kind of looking for, you know, and people say, well, why would you talk about something in town? Because travel can be down the street, around the corner.
Well, that's kind of what it's all about. We generally, when we travel, part of the experience is the dining in that particular region or wherever we may go. You know, I'm certainly that way. And sometimes just traveling locally to find new experiences, places to eat and drink, are part of the fun. And this is definitely a fun place.
You don't have to spend a fortune. That's next Sunday at 3 o'clock here on The Travel Guys. I'll be joining you live from down in Arizona. You have a good week, sir. Remember to dance like nobody's watching.
All right, my friends, stay well. We'll see you next Sunday, 3 o'clock.